life, and all the pain that followed after. Blinking hard, I gathered myself, refusing to give Whitney the pleasure of my rattled expression. "Oh, that's fine, Whitney," I said, my throat tight.
"No, it's so not. And I can tell you don't mean that."
She sighed, exaggerating a frown, but I could see the ends of her lips quivering with amusement as she soaked in my thinly veiled fury.
"It's just, I've always had such a bond with Aaron. We were so close. You know that,"
she pouted, using that baby voice I'd heard so many times before, on the phone during those nights when she'd call Aaron at 1, 2, even 3 in the morning. "Work stuff," Aaron always said. But then that shitstorm of a night happened, the one I'd rather not think about again. "Especially now." Swallowing hard, I found my words and gave Whitney a shrug. "It's your life, Whitney. Do whatever you want. You always have."
"Ooh," she gasped, her dark eyes gleaming. "Are we getting catty yet?"
I made a face. "Is that what you were hoping for?"
"Well, you know, you've always been all prim, proper, and prudish. It'd be nice to see you get a little nasty for once,"
she giggled, biting her lip.
"God knows you'll need to offer the boys something to get back into the dating game."
I blinked.
"Excuse me?"
Whitney feigned a nervous laugh.
"Did I hit a nerve? Oh, Tay, don't be sad. You'll rebound eventually."
She puckered her glossy lips.
"Probably not with anyone as cute as Aaron, but hey, you were kind of dating up with him to begin with."
"Wow, you have got to be kidding me." With a laugh of sheer disbelief, I shook my head at Whitney, refusing to engage any further. Turning around, I looked desperately for the sales girl. When I caught her passing the hallway, I quickly flagged her down, breathing out in relief as she flurried over to unzip my dress. I thanked her quietly, facing decidedly away from Whitney, who still stood there with a big, fake smile on her lips. It only spread wider as the salesgirl struggled to zip my dress.
"Excuse her. Tay's been digging into those post-breakup Oreos, if you know what I mean."
Whitney winked at the poor salesgirl, who frowned deeply at her before flashing me a look of shock mixed with apology. It helped. Kind of. But before I could even recover from the first insult, Whitney hit me again.
"Don't sweat the dress, Tay. Bit too sexy for you to pull off anyway,"
she said, tossing another wink my way. And with that, she waltzed back into her dressing room. After reassuring the salesgirl that I was done trying things on, I skulked back into mine. Shutting the door, I plopped down in the tufted white chair and stared at the wall, willing myself not to indulge in all the dark thoughts that Whitney never failed to trigger. It was dangerous to sink into that place in my mind, because it was filled with nothing but what-ifs and regret. All the pain I could have avoided if I could just get that 1 week, maybe just that one night of my life back. Even before Aaron left, the thoughts plagued me. Now that he was gone, they haunted me, choosing random times of the day to flash behind my eyes and bounce wildly around in my head, reminding me of everything I lost before I lost even Aaron.
"Okay, stop, Taylor. Breathe," I scolded myself, squeezing my eyes shut. "Think happy thoughts, happy thoughts, happy..."
"Oh my God!"
My eyes fluttered, Whitney's squealing voice snapping me out of my daze.
"Oh. My. God,"
she continued with her signature exaggeration.
"How did I get so lucky? And more importantly, what are you doing here?"
I blinked again when I heard the rich voice that answered her question. My hand flew to my mouth. "I don't know. What are you doing here?" Mason countered teasingly, his audible smirk telling me that her arms were already wrapped tightly around him.
"Holy shit, Mace. Yes."
Still clutching the front of my dress to my chest, I stood eagerly at the door, my negative thoughts fading fast, as I realized what kind of sick, twisted fun I could have with the scene unfolding outside.
Oh, you know, Mace, just shopping for dresses, so I can go to your brother's wedding to your ex. Scandalous, by the way. But I love how you clearly don't give a rat's ass, Whitney giggled.
I clenched my jaw as I heard her smack Mason somewhere on his body. It sounded hard. Probably his chest.
Fun to be the hotter, richer one, huh? You can just watch Lil Bro marry your girl and let that shit roll off your back. 'Cause you can always get someone hotter.
You're not wrong about that.
Whitney purred and lowered her voice.
Hotter with better tits and new tricks in bed.
Holy shit. She was really going for it.
Seen anyone lately who might fit that bill? Someone in this store, perhaps? Standing very close to you?
Mason's voice returned with a smooth laugh, just as a text buzzed in my phone. Grabbing it out of my purse, I heard him say,
"Actually, yes."
Just as I read the message on my screen,
"Wherever the hell you are, please come to the dressing rooms and save me."
I clamped my hand over my mouth to suppress my giant snort. My pulse picking up, I took in a deep breath, mentally switching gears and getting ready to put on the performance of a lifetime. Fluffing my hair, I exhaled steadily and finally swung open the door. The satisfaction was instant as I locked eyes on Mason and his unblinking stare. In less than a second, it found me, fixed on me, and refused to let go. Moving greedily up the length of my legs before tracing the flare of my hips and the dip of my waist, I couldn't even suppress the satisfaction spreading my lips as I watched the notorious Mason Leo try but fail several times to simply say something.
"Christ, Taylor,"
he finally muttered, dragging his hand across his jaw and studying me, looking so convincingly tortured, I had to chew my giant grin back. Eyeing Whitney, I found her simply standing there, mouth parted and eyes narrowed but unblinking, her attention flicking back and forth between us till she noticed my smile. A scowl formed quickly.
"Are you here together or something?"
she asked begrudgingly. I flashed a placid smile.
"Mm-hmm,"
I said before turning my exaggerated doe eyes to Mason. "Think I should buy this, babe?" He ignored my act to continue staring at me.
"I think you know the answer to that,"
he said, something oddly tantalizing about how his voice sounded hard, and for once, humorless. Wetting his lips, Mason tilted his head just so.
"Can you turn for me?"
he asked softly. And so politely, I practically forgot where I was. But I came right back to earth when Whitney jumped at her chance to cut in.
"It won't even zip on her," she blurted.
But then her lashes fluttered when Mason looked at her, and she gave a breathy giggle to remind him of her daintiness. Though he blinked at her for a second, Mason quickly returned his attention to me, drawing closer till there was barely 6 inches of space between us. I barely had to fake my reaction when his crooked smirk spread into a grin, mischief flickering in his blue eyes as he murmured low, but loud enough for Whitney to hear.
"Turn around for me, baby."
His words sent a quick ripple of chills up my arms, but shaking my head at him, I gave a little laugh. "Baby," I whispered mockingly, before gathering my hair over my shoulder and turning around. Gripping the edge of the doorframe, I looked into my dressing room mirror, watching through the reflection as Mason positioned himself behind me. God, the man was tall. Shameless, too, with the way he cocked his head to drag his heavy gaze up the length of my naked backside. I was so ready to say something smart, but suddenly he shut me up, yanking my dress tight, grabbing my zipper, and somehow pulling it up with barely any effort at all. A tiny gasp parted my lips, but once he let go, I breathed and realized, despite its tightness, the dress fit me perfectly. And judging from the way Mason was looking at me in it, it was the one. Whitney searched for something disruptive to say, but came up short. She had to be a masochist, continuing to stand there as Mason locked his eyes on mine through the reflection of the mirror and shook his head, rubbing the back of his neck. He groaned.
Yeah. Let's get you home so I can fucking rip this thing off and put my hands all over you.
My eyebrows shot up. Well, then. Funny you should say that, I smiled, my fingertips absently tracing the curve of my sweetheart neckline. Because Whitney actually said it was too sexy for me to pull off. Mason raised his eyebrows, glancing at Whitney's beet-red mortification.
I'm sure what she meant was that it's too sexy for me not to pull off of you. Now, for Christ's sake, get changed so I can take you home and throw you on my fucking bed.
God, yes. A fucking plus, Mason. With that bit of filth, Whitney finally stalked right back into her dressing room. Hand over my mouth, I recouped, reveling in what just happened and letting myself giggle under my breath as I turned to face Mason. Well done, I mouthed, arms crossed with content as I leaned back against the wall, listening to Whitney hastily gather her things and zip up her coat before marching straight out of the dressing area in a huff, without so much as a look in either of our directions. Wearing that crooked grin on his lips, Mason waited till she was out of the store to respond.
Not sure what you're referring to.
Let's go home, I smirked, like we lived together.
Well, that half of the sentence was certainly a lie, he said.
I paused for a moment. I wiggled my lips to the side, deciding not to acknowledge his suggestion that the latter half of his sentence was true. If Mason genuinely wanted to rip my dress off, I genuinely didn't want to know. I had no place in my head for that kind of information. Arms still crossed, I changed the subject. So, is this the part where you charge all this stuff to your account? I asked lamely.
Do you have everything you need for St. Lucia?
If I buy all the dresses I tried on today, I have more than enough. Mason cocked an eyebrow.
Swimwear?
I have swimsuits at home.
The point is to get new things Aaron's never seen before, Mason said,
his eyes skimming the sweetheart neck of my dress. He laughed when I played with my hair to block his view of my cleavage.
This isn't an attempt to con my way into watching you get naked and try on bikinis, Taylor. I just want you to get my brother's attention because that's the plan. If you want privacy, I can easily leave again. I do have a lot of work to do at the office.
I blushed, despite myself. That's not it, I lied, suddenly confused and not at all sure why. I just don't want you spending any more money here. I can get good bikinis that don't cost $400 apiece, okay? I laughed. I'll just have Sophia take me somewhere. She's the queen of shopping for this kind of stuff. Mason let his gaze linger on me for a second before saying,
okay.
Unless I imagined it, there was a hint of knowing smugness in his smile before he turned to walk away and find the salesgirl. Once he was out of sight, I groaned inwardly, raking my hand through my hair and trying to figure out what was weird about our conversation just now. But I couldn't. The weirdness just hung in the air, leaving me feeling vaguely unsettled despite the fact that I'd just recorded a hands-down win against Whitney frickin' Decker. As Mason paid for my things, I stayed in the fitting room with the salesgirl who helped me out of my dress. She was quiet as she unzipped me and slipped all my new dresses into black garment bags, but once she was done and I was back to my usual sweater and jeans, she dared to flash a sly look. "This is our first time meeting Mr. Leo in the store," she said quietly. "He never actually comes in to shop, so you must be a special one," I laughed.
"A special case, that's for sure."
"Well, whatever it is, he's very handsome, so it must be fun," she whispered as she walked me out toward Mason, who was waiting for me at the counter, his black pea coat on again, and its sharp collar turned up to skim his jaw. He was on the phone with the office, so I took the moment to study him without his knowing, realizing that... ugh. Even if I didn't say it out loud, I did have to admit it to just myself. So far, faking it with Mason was actually kind of fun. Chapter 6 Monday lunch with Sophia was a necessity for both of us, and it started with her confessing three things. One, that she already knew about my new fling. Two, that she shamelessly approved. And three, she too would be attending Aaron's wedding to Eva.
I'm sorry, Taylor. I swear to God, I was torturing myself trying to figure out how to tell you, and I promise I'm still going to punch him in the mouth when I see him, even if it's on the day of his wedding. And then I have to do his fucking makeup after to cover it up, she rambled and cringed at once, her fingers thrust in her copper hair. I just had to go because my family was pressuring me to so I could get the scoop on what the hell Aaron's even thinking. And my agency would kill me if I said no to that sweet, sweet Tully money.
I burst out laughing. Hey, someone needs to do the bride's makeup, and money is money, so I get it, I said truthfully, reaching across our Benedicts to give her hand a reassuring squeeze. I couldn't stay mad at the girl. Sophia Riccardi was the youngest cousin of the Leo brothers, and my best friend since I started dating Aaron 3 years ago. While Aaron and Sophia had always been close, our bond quickly surpassed theirs the moment we met, which started with me breathing, "Your eyebrows are perfect." The second Sophia revealed she did makeup for a living, my girly side awakened with the giggly force of 1,000 rainbows, and since then, we'd been practically sisters. In fact, she was the sole reason I even survived the weeks after Aaron left. Aside from swearing to cause him physical harm upon their next meeting, she brought me wine and dinner several days a week, even wrapping my couch with a fitted sheet and comforter when I insisted on sleeping there instead of the bed. Despite Mason's insistence, I honestly couldn't imagine keeping our fake relationship a secret from Sophia. But the task became a little easier when I heard she'd be coming with us to St. Lucia. The idea of everyone watching Mason and me act like a loving new couple was daunting enough, so I definitely didn't need Sophia constantly peering at me and giggling about how convincing I was, teasing me about how I totally had a crush on Mason, or whatever. It was actually simpler to let the crush ship sail and just pretend we were real. Plus, it meant I could just go ahead and talk about how hot things got at the store yesterday. I had to tell the story. It was an undeniably good one, and I would be lying if I said I wasn't at least a teensy bit turned on by the filth that came out of Mason's mouth when he saw me in that dress. I just reasoned that at least half the tingly thrill came from the fact that we'd teamed up to knock Whitney down several pegs, so it wasn't anything to be worried about. It was just a fun little act. Besides, there was no woman in the world who wouldn't be somewhat to completely titillated by the idea of Mason Leo wanting to tear her clothes off. So, that was my defense. Sophia was giving me a hard time about it, though.
Ew. Can you stop?
What?
I can tell you're thinking about Mason right now, and trust me, I'm used to sex conversations with you that involve one of my cousins, but I don't know if I can handle the way you're squirming right now.
You're exaggerating.
I'm not. I've definitely never seen you relive a memory so good that you started making sex faces right in public.
Soph, gross.
You're telling me. I'm the one who has to look at this shit, she said with a dramatic shudder. But it's fine. Now I know to tell the resort to put me in a room way down the hall from you and Mace. I should probably tell them to order a couple extra headboards while I'm at it. My cheeks burned.
Okay, let's... Please never talk about the prospect of me and Mason having sex, I said, failing to recognize my slip-up till Sophia made a funny face at me.
Why? You're dating Mason now. Sex is going to happen, she pointed out blankly. Oops. Shit. I mean, do you really feel that guilty about being with him?
I blinked.
Yes, I said eagerly. Yes, I do. Well, don't. Aaron basically gave you the freedom to do whatever you want with the stunt he pulled, and that includes boinking his brother, so boink away. And while we're on this topic, can I just say that I'm ridiculously happy for you two? As fucked up as it is, I kind of always hoped, even when you were still with Aaron, that you and Mace might become a thing someday. I had to laugh in her face. Wait, what? Why? Because under all the hate, I feel like you guys were totally meant for each other, she said, arms crossed with her nose in the air. Yeah, the few times we even spoke, it was all snark. So now you're just talking out of your ass. Hey, there's a fine line between love and hate, Sophia sassed. You should know better than anyone considering how weird things got with you and Aaron before he even left. I blinked, stunned. Then I shot her a look. We were fine, Sophia. Perfect, really, considering the circumstances. She backed down fast. Sorry, you're right. So let's please not go there. She held her hands up. Again, sorry, we won't go there.
I pinched my eyes shut, regretting the snippiness.
No, I'm sorry. I was just already sensitive and thinking about that whole situation thanks to the little Whitney flare-up yesterday. Don't think about those things. Or that night, Sophia urged. You have a new man in your life, and there's no room for regrets anymore. You're happy. He's happy. And honestly, I think you could be the one. The one to tame the untamable beast.
Soph, you're great at many things, but I gotta say, you're not the best bullshitter, she scoffed.
Fine, don't believe me. But let me just point out that Mason's already dropped basically millions of dollars on you by negotiating that deal with your company so you could go on vacation. And let's be real, he didn't have to do that. He could have just booked some big party with you guys that cost like a fraction of that contract, and Lori would still let you go on vacation since you're her favorite employee anyway. Right?
I chewed my lip. That reminds me. I have to drop by the office to sign something so I can even start my vacation.
Or you just trying to escape me because you're uncomfortable admitting how incredibly fucking attracted you are to Mason. Sophia smirked. I narrowed playful eyes at her.
That's not it. And you're very annoying. You know that?
In the most lovable way, though. Right?
Sophia grinned, as I faked a sigh and a begrudging nod.
See? That's a trait that runs in the Leo family. And you know that all too well now that you're with Mason,
I groaned. I really do.
Oop! There's the sex face again.
I clamped my hand over my mouth. Liar, I said, leaving money on the table that she threw back at me.
You're the worst. And you're leaving. Don't try to pay. See you at Noah's dinner tomorrow?
You will. Opening this week was Lady Mercer, Soho's latest scene to be seen. And running the place was Noah Van Dahl, Manhattan's favorite bad boy chef and best friend to none other than my own, Mason Leo. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Of course not. Everyone in this city is going to be there.
Sophia wiggled her perfect eyebrows.
So it's basically you and Mason's official coming out party. Wouldn't you say?
Shit. I thought as I shrugged my coat on, realizing exactly why Mason had asked me to go.
God, I hadn't really thought about that, but thank you for reminding me it's gonna be side-eye city in there. You better look hot. It's Noah's opening, but all eyes are gonna be on you two.
Thanks. No pressure at all. Sophia snorted.
You'll be fine. You're going to have Mason Leo on your arm, and I hear that's a big enough confidence boost as it is.
That I actually can't argue.
Mm-hmm. And if you get nervous, just pretend that everything's gravy and you two couldn't be more in love.
Sophia beamed.
Don't let the haters in on the truth. Know what I mean?
Oh, trust me. I laughed as I leaned over to kiss her on the cheek. I know it all too well. See you tomorrow.
Taylor, you didn't have to come in to sign this in person. I did state in the email that an electronic signature would do,
Lori said, as she closed the door of her corner office overlooking Fifth Avenue.
As usual, my boss's space was an amusing contradiction. Neat, streamlined, and tidy besides the island of madness that was her desk. I'm glad you did come in, though, because I did want to commend you in person on facilitating the deal between Vandermark and the Victorian. It's going to solidify our company's reputation among luxury hotels. Lori adjusted her chignon as she sat behind her desk. And, of course, I need to congratulate you on whatever deal you have going with Mason Leo. Standing awkwardly in front of her desk, I laughed. Excuse me? Lori snorted. You've been with this company since you were 19, Taylor. I've known you for longer than even Aaron has, so I know that you're not actually dating Mason Leo. Might I remind you that I'm the one you came running to every time you needed to complain about him? True. My top two choices for receiving Mason rants were Aaron and Sophia. But since they were both related to him, I generally suppressed my anger till I could bring it to Lori, which always made Mondays extra Monday-like for her. I grinned and grimaced at the same time. Can you keep a secret? I can, as long as you email me the second you break and have drunk beach sex with him. Wow. Thank you for the vote of confidence, but that's not going to happen. Why not? After everything Aaron put you through, I'd say you deserve to actually sleep with his brother. I mean, Aaron was cute, but with Mason, you've got those shoulders and that ass. And it's purely physical, so who cares? Just tape his smart mouth shut before you get into bed with him. Simple solutions, Lori said. Looking up, she snorted at my horrified expression. What? You're already doing something batshit insane. You might as well have fun while you're at it. It's not like you're ever going to see him again after you come back from the wedding. I frowned. I hadn't thought about that. And I guess you have a point. I just would rather not complicate things. That suggests you even have a history to complicate, which you don't. Lori cocked her head as she moved a stack of papers. Right? I blinked. Right. So go crazy. You're not in St. Lucia yet, but thanks to the pile of last-minute paperwork your new boyfriend had me finalize over the weekend, you are technically on vacation, she pointed out. And considering all the work I put in for you thus far, if you don't come back from St. Lucia with a detailed description of what Mason Leo looks like ass naked, I'm firing you. If it helps, I may or may not have seen the outline of his dick last week. Eyebrow cocked high. Lori looked up from her work. Spectacular? She asked seriously. When I groaned, she grinned. Yeah. I'll take that as a holy shit yes. As you should. But please don't make me think any more about it. I won't. Lori tipped her nose up and turned back to her screen. I'm sure you'll find plenty of temptation on your own. And considering the lackluster sex you endured for years with Aaron, I'm pretty confident you'll at some point break. Amused, I shook my head. You're such a wonderful mentor, Lori. Oh, I know. Now get out of my office. I have work to do, and so do you, she said as she began typing busily at her computer. And by work, I mean Mason Leo. I laughed. All right, I'm leaving. Keep me posted on the fomance, heartbreaker. See you in 2 weeks. Chapter 7. If I'd had to have a coming out with Mason, Lady Mercer was undeniably the spot to do it. By the time we arrived, it was a blaring full house. Ducking my head just a bit, I let Mason guide me to our table with a hand on my back. In case you forgot, the point is to be seen, he said, reading the intimidation on my face. Despite working for a restaurant group, I was inexperienced with places like these, the ultra-trendy scenes with waiters gliding about like performers and heads constantly turning to see who had just walked in. I definitely noticed eyes peering over as the host showed us to our reserved booth. Already in my own head, I tried to distract myself by admiring the restaurant decor. An amber glow lit the stately shelf behind the bar, stacked from floor to ceiling with all the best wines and spirits from around the globe. Lining the floors was distressed tile, and stretching the antique mirrored walls were leather banquettes, packed to the gills with beautiful people, many of whom were still looking our way as we got seated, the first in our party to arrive. Damn it. No matter how much I tried to think of something else, my mind couldn't stop returning to the fact that this was my first time stepping out with Mason as a couple. And while I'd imagined it would be fun, I couldn't help feeling like a giant ball of nerves.
"Any chance you'll actually survive this evening?"
Mason asked, noticing the shaking in my arms as I turned to let him take my coat. I was ready to scoff some form of course I am, but when I turned back around, my mouth snapped shut. Damn. Having shed his own coat, Mason now stood in dark jeans and a gray cashmere sweater that stretched just tight enough over his broad chest and the rest of that tapered torso. Woof. I had to admire for a second. Couldn't even help it. Thankfully, his blue eyes were doing something similar to me.
"Did I buy that for you?"
he asked of the turtleneck sweater dress that stretched down to just an inch above my knees. Paired with knee-high boots, I had barely any skin showing. Of course, the piece was tighter than tight, thanks to the fact that my favorite red-haired devil had been the one to pick it out. "Sophia bought it for my birthday last year," I replied. Mason nodded. "Remind me to thank her later." He indulged in another second of staring before bringing his eyes to mine.
"In the meantime, I'm going to need you to do something besides the deer in headlights look. You're giving everyone the impression that I brought you here at gunpoint."
I rolled my eyes.
"You're sweet."
"Seriously, looking even moderately enthused will do."
"Yeah, duly noted. How could I say no to such a sweet and sensitive boyfriend?" Mason smirked as he whipped the black scarf from his neck.
"I didn't realize sweet and sensitive was what you wanted."
"I think that's what most girlfriends want, but I understand that you wouldn't know that," I replied, averting my eyes as Mason watched me gather my hair over one shoulder.
"Duly noted. If that's what works with you, then here."
One step forward, and Mason was suddenly inches from me, the breath hitched in my throat as he locked his gaze on mine. Shit. I hadn't expected him to bust out sweet and sensitive so quickly, and I wasn't quite ready for it. I was frozen despite the warmth of his chest as he grabbed my waist, slid his hands down to my hips, and pulled me so close that my forehead met his lips. My pulse picked up as Mason pressed a soft kiss to my skin and murmured, "Everything's fine, Taylor. You have me." The smooth baritone of his voice was as intoxicating as his scent, and it had my lashes fluttering. I didn't even remember to exhale till he pulled away, eyes glinting as he hit me with that crooked grin, full of amusement.
"There. How you feeling now?"
I tucked a lock of hair behind my ears. "Dandy," I managed.
"That works for me."
I could swear by the way he looked at me that Mason knew exactly what the hell he was doing, that he enjoyed making me at least a little uncomfortable, and I found it so damned irritating. But I couldn't dwell on the thought because it wasn't long after that that his friends began to roll in, starting a big round of introductions. Immediately, everything on my body was shaking, my hands, my knees, my attempt at a charming smile. I was so intensely nervous for everyone's reception to our coupling, but while there was some brief gawking and a couple raised eyebrows, no one said anything that even bordered on out of line. The worst comment came from a cute ballerina-looking girl who said merrily that I traded up, and that finally made me laugh and relax a bit. I was even able to talk with convincing breeziness about how I was so okay now, and how Aaron leaving was an absolute shock, but recent developments had me recovering at a much quicker speed than expected. That line, of course, came with a loving glance at Mason. "Not the worst, Taylor. B+, I said to commend myself. I was doing slowly better. Still, as we sat, Mason kept his hand wrapped around mine, squeezing every time it started to shake again, which was generally when someone spoke to me about the wedding.
"Jesus Christ, easy, Mason said, as Sophia led the rest of the table into some heated conversation about politics. Her least favorite subject. But she'd caught a few of my anxious looks, and I knew she was doing her best to draw attention away from me. I thanked God for that, and the fact that Mason was being borderline kind to me right now. Taylor, everything's fine. You did great just now. You can relax.
I am relaxed, I said, though I could see him dubiously eyeing my bouncing knee.
Reaching across my lap, he squeezed it firmly, nearly stopping my heart with his thumb pressed against my inner thigh, his hand rubbing slow circles till I finally stopped shaking.
What are you so anxious about?
He asked, sounding genuinely confused.
I can't put my finger on it, I murmured, avoiding his eye. I guess I didn't really think about how scary it would be to actually come out to people as your girlfriend. People who kind of know who I am. I feel like they're judging me. They think I'm sleeping with you now when I was engaged to Aaron 9 weeks ago.
You still waited longer than he did to move on.
The word stung for a second before I moved past it.
Yeah, well, girls get more flack for everything. Double standards, slut-shaming, all that jazz.
I wouldn't argue that.
I turned to him. No?
You look surprised.
I took a second to assess my reaction. I guess I didn't expect that from someone who treats women like they're... I trailed off, feeling for the first time kind of bad about trashing Mason.
Treat women like they're what?
He asked. Disposable. Mason raised his eyebrows and leaned back, as if settling in for this conversation.
And how exactly do I do that?
He asked, withdrawing his hand from my knee. I blinked down at the sudden loss of his touch. I hated the cold void it left on my skin.
Well, I've heard many a story about girls you've humiliated without so much as batting an eye. Stuff about having more than one date lined up for an event, going with whoever wore the tighter dress, ignoring girls you've been with in the past when you see them in public, taking some poor woman for a weekend in Lake Como, and sending her home after meeting an Italian supermodel.
Mason laughed.
Fuck, that's cold.
Yeah, I'd agree.
It also never happened, Taylor,
Mason said, his eyes incredulous on me.
I did take someone to Lake Como for a weekend last year, but she was the Italian model. She flew home alone because she had work in Milan, and I had work in New York, but we both left pretty pleased with our weekends,
he explained, sending shame to my cheeks.
Now that I've clarified that particular crock of shit, may I ask who you even heard it from?
I chewed my lip back. One or two stories came from Sophia, who was often left to comfort the girls Mason suddenly stopped texting after a week of passion. But the main perpetrator of Mason rumors was, of course, Aaron. And suddenly I felt stupid admitting that my intel came from someone whose love-hate relationship with his brother leaned almost always toward the latter, and mostly due to jealousy he couldn't even try to hide.
I think you can guess who told me, I finally said.
Yeah. That little shit. I'll give him credit, though. Pitting two girls against each other in some kind of out-sexing competition is definitely a compelling idea.
Funny, I remarked. So two dates in one night? Never happened?
No.
And the girls you shunned in public?
I've been short with a few who interrupted me during business lunches. But I'd just rather not subject clients to conversations that include women thanking me for the multiple orgasms last night. I know they're just trying to keep themselves in my memory, but I suspect my gifted cock isn't exactly a professional topic of discussion.
I raised my eyebrows. I definitely agreed, but I didn't let that on.
Maybe they resort to that because you won't answer their texts.
Mason laughed.
You're right. I don't answer all the texts I receive. There are only so many different ways to say thank you and very nice to pictures of naked tits.
I choked on my water. And here I thought you liked nudes. Mason nodded his thanks for the scotch the waiter placed in front of him.
I prefer my women naked in person. That said, I'm still very open to receiving nudes of any kind from you.
Color me charmed. I'll get right on that.
Mason laughed.
I know I'm not getting naked pictures from you, Taylor. I've already made my peace with that.
Oh, I'm so glad. What did you try? Meditation?
Philosophy. I think Plato said something about sexting being a form of hedonism.
I must have missed that lecture in college. Probably because I didn't go to college. Mason turned to me with the truest surprise I'd ever seen on his face.
You didn't go to college?
I shrugged. Does that completely shatter your image of me?
Kind of. I had a pretty vivid picture of you being the buzzkill who called campus security on parties.
I let out a sharp laugh that had everyone glancing over with curious amusement. Mouthing, sorry, I quickly hid my face, turning my blushing cheeks back to Mason, who was watching me with a big smile. I suppressed my own giggle. Weird. I didn't expect this particular conversation to lighten my mood, but somehow, it was doing the job.
All right. So now that we've debunked the myth of how I grossly mistreat women, are we done covering exactly why you've hated me all these years? Or is there something else to it?
Mason asked. My smile faltered. Instantly, the question had bad memories trying to crawl their way to the forefront of my mind. But with my nerves freshly pacified, I refused to let them. That covers it, I lied, flashing a bright smile.
Good. Then cheers.
I accepted the glass of wine Mason handed me. To what?
The fact that everyone in this room is watching you right now,
he said as he peered out at the restaurant.
So either you show them something right now, or I will.
That sounds remarkably dirty. What exactly are we talking about?
Our recent spectators, thanks to your ear-shattering laughter,
Mason said, prompting me to roll my eyes.
I mean, we're supposed to be a couple. Might as well take advantage and explicitly show that, right now.
What? You want a kiss or something?
Since you offered so sensually.
Shut it, Mason laughed.
A passionate gesture of any sort is what I'm looking for. Now, before we lose our audience, who's doing it? You or me?
My eyes fluttered. What? I don't know, I muttered, feeling awkward and rushed. But since I was afraid of what liberties Mason might take with a sexy public gesture, I finally blurted, I'll do it, and slapped a hand square on his chest, leaning hastily into his body to sell it. There, done, I breathed out in relief. But then I blinked. Shit! I stared down at my palm, at my fingers dipping into the deep-cut lines of Mason's muscled chest. The heat of his body under my skin lit my cheeks right on fire, but they burned for different reasons when he broke the silence and laughed.
Very sexy, Taylor. You nailed it.
What? My tone was defensive, despite knowing that there was nothing visually erotic about what I just did. I basically smacked him and stuck my face a few inches closer to his. Still, that didn't change the fact that his pecs felt like fucking steel under my hands. That sexiness was undeniably real, but it didn't keep Mason from snorting at me.
I don't know, Taylor. That felt more domestic dispute than it did tender, loving moment.
My face flushed pink, but I smirked, shaking my head at the sheer entertainment gleaming in his eyes. Fine, asshole. You want sexy?
I do.
He smirked. Show me sexy. You got it, babe. Before he could hit back with any snarky reply, I dropped my hand from his chest, stroking down the front of his body and curling my fingertips against every solid ridge of his six-pack. Jesus, I nearly shuddered. Just touching him gave me a painfully vivid picture of what those insane abs look like naked, and it made me rake my bottom lip between my teeth, biting back the mischief that curled my mouth. I hooked my fingers into the top of his jeans, my knuckles brushing cashmere before they pressed against his hard, bare hip bone. Holy shit. I could feel the absolute heat emanating from his smooth skin as I realized my fingers were only inches from, well, that famously endowed cock of his. I let myself process that. The fact that if I slid my touch just a bit further down on Mason, I'd brush against that incredibly thick root I caught the clear outline of the other day at my apartment. God, I probably wouldn't even be able to wrap my hand around it completely hard. Jesus, Taylor, I exhaled. And before my imagination got too carried away, I let go of him. Good God,
Did I just fucking do that? Wetting my lips, I looked up at Mason's face, stripped of smugness, his chiseled features overcome with a look of... Was it? Yes, that was plain, thick lust in his eyes that had me almost writhing in my seat. I swallowed the knot in my throat. Sexy enough for you?
If I say no, will you keep going?
I broke into a laugh. You really want me to go further than that in public?
I'll take more of you wherever you'll give it to me. We can go in that coat check or the fucking walk-in cooler. I'll tell Noah to clear out the kitchen.
As romantic as that sounds. No. Fine. Mason laughed. With a low groan, he sat up again, spreading in his seat so that our legs pressed tight against each other, our thighs practically exchanging heat. What? You're squishing me now as punishment? I cocked my eyebrow. When he shook his head, I asked, What are you doing?
Making room in my pants for the damage you did.
Peering instinctively down at his crotch, my jaw dropped, and my head snapped quickly up again to stare ahead. Holy hell. How? Somehow the damage I'd done in 2 seconds of faked sexiness was significant enough to require some very extensive snaking down the left leg of his jeans. Seriously. Last week's under-the-pants outline was absolutely nothing compared to today, and it had me suddenly experiencing all my shock in the form of throbbing between my legs. Shit. Arching my back, I sat forward, refusing to let Mason catch the look on my face.
I just need a minute here,
he laughed, clearly entertained by my discomfort. That's fine, I returned, quickly inserting myself into the travel conversation going on across from me. Despite immersing myself quickly, throwing in bits of my own road-tripping stories here and there, my body was still buzzing, completely flooded with heat, probably because Mason had yet to move or speak behind me, and the thought of his blood still rushing hot to one place was driving my pulse through the roof. Minutes passed, and our legs were still hot against each other, his dick apparently still throbbing through denim. I'd actually caught the twitch under his jeans before looking away, and 5 minutes later I was still envisioning it. I couldn't stop thinking about it, nor could I believe that my little stunt had gotten a guy like Mason Leo hard as a rock in the middle of a fucking restaurant. Caving, I finally glanced over my shoulder at him. Lord, it was instant fucking arousal when I found him looking visibly tortured as he sat back, his jaw slack and his heavy-lidded stare pinned to my backside. When he lifted it to me, I expected a laugh, or a smirk, or some kind of smug look, but I got nothing, just the hot intensity of his gaze sending sparks of electricity across my skin. Excuse me, I said suddenly, deciding that I needed desperately to use the restroom, or any space where I could avoid Mason for a second, because despite the conversation I carried on easily with his friends, all I could think of was one dirty, filthy, and seriously uncharacteristic thing. Giving him relief. Seriously, Taylor? I couldn't believe myself, nor could I erase the image of my aching fingers curling, wrapping tight around him and feeling just how hot, hard, and thick he was. I was being legitimately crazy, and I told myself that. But I also told myself that all I needed was a quick look in the mirror and splash of water on my face to remember who I was, where I was, and how much I didn't actually want to give Mason Leo a public hand job. In fact, I didn't want to give him one anywhere. Okay, I exhaled, comfortably locked in the dimly lit bathroom and staring at my reflection. My cheeks were rosy and my lips were swollen, swollen as if I'd been kissing someone. Gathering my hair off my hot neck, I rolled my head back and closed my eyes. I thought about the deal I'd struck with Mason, about the fact that anything going on between us was a product solely of that. I thought about how this act was for Aaron, and about how long it had been since I'd had sex with him, or anyone else. That was the obvious culprit for the sudden fever just now. I mean, I'd gotten laid at least 4 times a week for 3 years till Aaron left,
In the past 9 weeks, I'd had nothing. I was in a drought, thirsty, and susceptible to heat. That explained pretty much everything. "You're fine," I told myself, repeating it till I believed it enough to run my hand through my hair and open the door. "You're fine," I repeated. But once I stepped in the hall, I gasped.
"Taylor! What's up, princess?"
Two familiar faces grinned wide at me. A sandy blonde in a slate-blue suit, and a goateed idiot drenched as usual in cologne. Trip and Trevor. Fuck, I forgot which, but I knew I hated them both. They were former colleagues of Aaron, and I'd found them crude, immature, and insufferable even before they planned my then-fiancé's secret going-away party, or in my mind, his leaving Taylor in the dust party. "Hi," I said curtly, knowing well from the leering looks in their eyes that they had nothing good to say. "Excuse me," I said, stepping past them and walking away before I had to hear any of their bullshit.
"Saw you jerking Mace under the table just now," one of them called after me.
My stomach lurched. Begrudgingly, I stopped to turn around, my heart thumping at the loathsome, disgusting looks on both their faces.
"Good stuff. Love seeing you lose the classiness for once. It was always kind of boring."
"First of all, that's obviously not what was happening," I said, gritting my teeth. "Second, you're friends of Aaron and considering you threw his goodbye party? You know that he left me to marry another woman. So it's honestly more than fair game for me to have moved on."
"To his brother, though? That's cold. I mean, once upon a time, I'm pretty sure you hated that guy," said the blonde, whichever his stupid name was. "Yeah, and now you're fucking him. Considering you hated us, too, does that mean we're next?"
I stared at them both. "Excuse me?"
"Trip and I are happy to volunteer for the job if you're just fucking anyone to piss off Aaron,"
Trevor rubbed his goatee slowly, in a way that had my skin crawling and my legs feeling like lead.
"Just call us when you and Mace are done bumping nasties."
Trip laughed.
"Don't worry, Tay. No threesomes. We'll take turns with a good girl like you."
I couldn't leave faster. My heart was pounding, their laughter fading from my ears as I stormed furiously away, my heels clicking so loudly and rapidly. Mason caught my eye from well across the dining room. He sat up fast, frowning hard at whatever look was stricken on my face. Before I could even get back to the table, he was up and pacing toward me.
"What's wrong?"
he asked, stopping me at the end of the bar. "Aaron's friends," was all I muttered, my voice trembling.
"Which ones? Where?"
Mason demanded, already heated. Peering toward the front door, I watched Trip and Trevor shrug their coats on, smiling as they watched me. But the smiles fell off their faces when Mason followed my eyeline to find them. Suddenly, they were getting dressed a bit faster.
"What did they do?"
Asked if it was their turn with me next. I had barely finished my sentence before Mason was rushing toward the door, prompting Trip to shove Trevor fast out the restaurant. "Mason, wait," I pleaded. A hush had fallen over the room, and I was well aware that at least half the restaurant was watching now as I tried to stop Mason from chasing two morons out into the cold. "Mace," I hissed as he pushed out the front doors and onto the freezing cold sidewalk. "Shit, shit, shit," I cursed as I hurried to follow. Outside, the wind whipped me relentlessly, hair flying backward. My shoulders shrugged and I hugged myself tight as I looked around for Mason. "Fuck," I cursed when I heard a near comical yelp coming from the side of the restaurant. Turning the corner, my wild eyes caught Trip speeding away in the back of a cab before they found Mason, his expression blank and calm, as he muttered an inch from Trevor's red face. A vein bulged from Trevor's forehead as he stood pinned to the wall by Mason's flexed forearm, pushing against his throat without mercy. "Oh my God, Mace!" I yelled, bursting forward. "Stop!" He finished whatever he was snarling under his breath at Trevor, sending the message home with a hard glare before letting go. He watched Trevor crumble, not quite to the ground, but enough for one last bruise to the ego. In shock,
I stood there, shivering furiously, and staring as Mason stood undaunted in the freezing cold, sleeves rolled up, and his gaze almost bored as he watched Trevor struggle to regain his footing. Grabbing the back of his collar, Mason pulled him to his feet.
"Apologize to her. Sorry."
Mason glanced at me. He read my expression, then turned back to Trevor.
"Try it again."
Making eye contact this time, Trevor spoke shakily through clenched teeth.
"I'm sorry, Taylor. Bad joke, and I apologize."
He didn't mean it, but I didn't want to look at him for another second, so I nodded and muttered, "Just go." He did, but I heard him mutter "slut" under his breath right after he turned the corner. My gaze flicked quickly to Mason to make sure he didn't hear. He didn't. The tightness in his jaw had relaxed, and he was coming toward me now.
"You all right?"
he asked, sounding more casual than I could process. I studied him, unsure of what to make of my emotions. Now I had shock and gratitude joining my embarrassment and shame. I wished it would all just cancel each other out, but instead, it all boiled together to confuse the hell out of me. "I'm fine," I finally said. "You didn't have to defend me." I was half expecting to hear the words, "I wanted to," but Mason moved straight past the topic.
"Should we get you inside? You're going to freeze."
His eyes lowered to my shivering body, and though he stood close, he didn't touch or try to warm me. Still hugging myself, I shook my head. "I think I need a minute." Kind of humiliated.
"Why?"
Mason frowned.
"Those idiots should be the ones who are embarrassed."
I could feel the bitterness in my smile. "They're idiots, but they aren't completely off base to think what they think. You have a reputation, and I'm freshly heartbroken. It's going to look to most people like you're taking advantage of me right now. It's just the truth." It was quiet for a second.
"Well, what can I do?"
"What? To show them I'm not another one of your dirty, one-week flings?" I had to laugh as I rubbed my arms to warm myself. Short of marrying me, nothing. And I guess I'm realizing that a little too late, I said, my eyes on the floor now, as I thought about how stupid I'd probably look to everyone inside that restaurant. God damn it, Taylor. Mason came off great, like he'd just landed his most interesting conquest yet. But all I looked like was desperate, foolish, and soon to be used. Fuck. Now I wasn't so sure it was the cold I was shuddering over.
"That can't be true. There has to be something I can do,"
Mason said, a frown knitting his brows. "I don't think there is, and I'm pretty certain now that overtly sexy gestures in public won't do anything but make me look even more like one of your cheap hookups. So yeah, definitely putting an end to that one," I muttered, feeling myself getting negative. "Anyway," I nodded inside, "I'm cold." Back inside, we returned to our seats, and I let Mason do the talking this time, much to my relief. Noah was out from the kitchen and effectively distracting everyone with talks of some party he was throwing tomorrow night. I smiled with the rest of them, acted interested, and complimented the food. But I was numb inside. And while no one else noticed, Mason seemed to sense it, because as the rest of the table chatted, he put his arm around me, leaning in close to my ear.
"I'll figure something out, all right?"
he murmured. I caught Sophia's doting eyes on us across the table as Mason gently squeezed my arm. She grinned at me, clearly assuming that he was whispering sweet nothings in my ear, when it was quite the opposite.
"Just because I'm not marrying you doesn't mean we can't make you look like my girlfriend instead of some cheap fling."
"Sure," I said. He sounded genuine, but I took his words with a grain of salt, shrugging his arm off my shoulder, as I realized that in terms of image, the perks of our arrangement were a little one-sided. Angling his body toward me, Mason tilted his head to meet my eye.
"What? Is this our first fight as a couple?"
I cut my eyes to him but gave no answer. I wanted to tell him that I was out, that our deal was done, and I'd transfer back the absurd amount of money he put in my account. But I felt my mood shifting as my eyes trailed from the bow of his lips up the blade of his nose, landing finally on those pools of blue boring into me. Damn it. I cursed myself as I surrendered with an answer. Yes.
Well, I guess that's a rite of passage for us.
Maybe.
I'd crack a joke about makeup sex,